This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. I want to welcome Jessica Predville up to the stage. She's going to be speaking with me today. And I'm so excited about what God did last service. And I know that God just keeps taking it up a notch, so I expect even more this service. So God knows exactly what you need. Turn to somebody and say, God knows exactly what you need. He knows what you need. He knows what I need. He knows what we need to walk out of this service with. I don't believe in just having service for service's sake. I believe in having services that there is some type of content, some type of divine content that he's given us to give, to have authority and to rule and reign. Amen?
Amen.
So we've been talking about this new series, Dealing with Your Demons. And I think, man, if we could talk about anything in October, it would be this topic, dealing with your demons. We all have stuff that we got to work through. We all have stuff that we have to sort through. But some things aren't natural things. Some things are spiritual in nature. And there's times when we're trying to solve things with a natural solution, but there's actually some type of spiritual thing that's a root issue that we have to get there and we have to deal with our demons. And so I want to take a look at this. God wants us to experience total freedom. How many believe that? How many believe God doesn't want you living in bondage? But if there's any type of spiritual harassment on your life, God wants to set you free. God wants to set us all free. And that's his desire. So I've asked Jessica Predville to come up here and speak with me today. And you've got some fans out here. For those that don't know, Jessica works in the housing and finance industry. She is currently studying for her law and psychology degrees, two at one time. You like doing two things at one time. Because she's also started two nonprofits, and one of those is really active here in the church, and we see so many people helped at Christmas time and Thanksgiving and throughout the year. And she heads up our student ministry.
Purpose culture.
And sometimes she does the announcements, and she's very excited. So she's a powerful prayer warrior. She's on fire for God, and she believes in the power that we have to cast out spirits. And so why is this so important?
Because I like to see God's people set free. Amen. I don't like it to see bondage in any capacity whatsoever. I was bound for years. Yeah. And once God called me out of that grave, it was over. Yeah. And so I have a commission on my life to set captives free in the name of Jesus.
Amen. So I want to just lay some groundwork. Ephesians 6:12. Before we really, really dive in and get going fast, Ephesians 6:12 tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we realize that the true opponent that we have, the true issue that we've got going, is not even with that person that's causing us trouble. It's not with that person that had road rage and flicked us off on the interstate. It's actually, there's a spiritual darkness, and there's spirits that are at work trying to cause destruction. They're coming to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so as we're aware of that it causes us to look at people differently. Yeah. We can look at people with compassion that are treating us in a nasty way because we realize it's really spirits that are at work behind people and spirits that are at work behind circumstances to try to undermine God's purpose for our lives. So oftentimes we think we're dealing with a natural thing, but there's actually a spiritual problem behind that. And so it doesn't matter how many natural solutions you come up with. If it's a spiritual problem, you're not going to be able to fix it with natural solutions. Spiritual problems can only be resolved by the Spirit. And so demon problems can only be solved with the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit that God gives us, it gives us the ability to cast out demons. He said, I'll give you the ability to cast out demons in my name. And so you can't rationalize them away. You can't counsel them away. You can't medicate them away. If it's a demon problem, there's only one solution. Get them out of your life. And so I want to talk first, before we get into the other things, about self-deliverance. And this is a big thing, I think, for today, talking about self-deliverance. This is when we understand that through the Spirit of God that He's given us, we have the ability to deliver ourselves, to cast out spirits. And so self-deliverance, the Holy Spirit has given us this power. And through the name of Jesus, through the Word of God, we can get ourselves free. And we should get ourselves free before we start trying to help our friends and help our family and help those around us. First, we need to get free of whatever's been binding us. So tell me how you've seen this work in your life, Jessica.
Well, I think self-deliverance is essential. Like you said, we have to do it daily. Well, if not daily, very often.
Yeah.
Because we go through life and we live, we work with other people, we go by other people, and there's always an opportunity for you to pick up things. So it's in the presence of God that we're truly set free. And what happens is when you have a relationship with God, He exposes those dark areas working within you, something that may have come in. I can only speak in, by example. Mm-hmm. You know, at work, a few years ago, my coworker, she was struggling in her mind and, you know, unstable in certain ways, and I'd come early and I'd pray with her and stuff. And then, as you said, sometimes people do things and it's not them. It's like a, you know, unseen powers and forces. So she threw me under the bus one time at work. And I was just like, I mean, I'm trying to help you out. And so there was a spirit of offense. And so myself and my coworker, we started saying, I can't believe her. How could she do that? And then I try to go into my prayer time and just offer up, you know, praises to the Lord. No, He didn't come. Well, He was there. He didn't say anything. And so I was just worshiping and pressing and pressing and, you know, nothing happened. And I was like, okay. So I closed up everything and I heard Him say, well, how could you talk bad about somebody that you pray for?
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, if that's not a gut check, I mean, that hit me so hard. And I had to go through repenting and self-delivering myself from the bondage of offense, because that's how it came in.
Yeah. So sometimes when we gossip or something like that, we open a door. So we open a door for spirits to come into our life and begin to harass us on whatever level that is, right? You know, the only level isn't just like possession, like straight up demon possession, like The Exorcist. There's other stuff, right? There's somebody could be harassed. Somebody could be oppressed, right? It's like they're living underneath a cloud. So there's different types of the way that the spiritual world works. But self-deliverance is so important, because sometimes there's open doors that we've opened that we have to address. Demons attach themselves to people through, you said it, unrepented sin, through negative emotions, through traumatic experiences. Sometime you might have, you're good, you've forgiven, but then you got into a bad automobile accident and you were really traumatized by that. And now every time you get in the car, you just feel so afraid, spirit of fear. So sometimes through traumatic situation, maybe you had a surgery, and through the trauma of all that experience, you walked out of that, and now it's like, just seems like there's a fog or there's something over your life. The enemy tries to come in through traumatic experience. That's an open door. Unrepented sin, that's an open door. Sometimes when we're angry and we stay angry, we sustain that natural fleshly anger, it leaves a door open for a spirit of anger. And so now the natural problem, the flesh issue that we have, just graduated to a spiritual issue. And now that spirit begins to interact with your flesh problem. And you got anger on top of anger. So sometimes when we have the wrong emotions and we sustain the wrong emotions in our life, it leaves a door open for demonic involvement. So open doors. Genesis 4, 6 through 7, God deals with this right up at the top so that we can have an understanding of how demons work, how the demonic realm works. This is what God said to Cain, right up at the top. God says, why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain, why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what's right, right? Repent and do what's right. Yeah. But if you refuse to do what's right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at your door, eager to control you. And that sin comes in the form of spirits that try to attack you. He said, it's eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master.
Yeah.
You see, the plan that God has for its life, for our lives, is for us to subdue, right, any spirits that are trying to bother us, to bother our family, to bother our future, for us to take authority. So sometimes, though, all right, this is one example, but sometimes it was something that we didn't even do directly. Maybe it was something that our parents got themselves involved in, our grandparents got themselves, somewhere some ancestor did something, they made a pact with the spirit, or they did something really bad, and then there's some type of spirit that tried to attach itself to the family. When the family member died, then they just said, oh, well, I'll just try and see if I can continue to work this with the son or the daughter. And they keep on until somebody just tells them, hey, you got to go. Amen. In Jesus' name. And so some people call it a generational assignment. Other people might call it a generational curse. But when spirits try to attach themselves to families. And so sometimes it's not even something that you do, but you have to become aware. Hey, but the Holy Spirit shows me this is something that's going on in my family, and I need to bind this and I need to break it. So you have the power in Christ to break any and every spirit off your life. Look at somebody and say, I have the power. In Christ, to break every spirit. So God can break any demonic assignment over your life, whether it's lust, whether it's perversion, whether it's greed, laziness, depression, anxiety, addiction, spirits of suicide. God, it doesn't matter what type of spirits it is. God has given us the ability to overcome and take authority over these things. And so we start, though, with repentance. How do we address these things? We have to start with repentance. If you want to be free, repentance is the key. Now, I'm sorry for rhyming today, but I had to do it. If you want to be free, repentance is key. If you want God's forgiveness and his power of deliverance over your life, first you need to repent. We have to start there. God, I'm sorry for sinning. God, forgive me. And that's where it starts. You're not going to get free of anything unless you're willing to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. That's where the journey begins. That's where self-deliverance begins. God, I'm sorry. I did the wrong thing. God, I need you to step in and help me. Once again, I want to apply the work of Jesus to my life, the power of the cross. And sometimes there's moments that we need to intercede for other people. And that's when you're repenting for other people. Examples are like Job. He prayed for his kids. He would intercede for them. God, if there's anything that they've done wrong, God, I repent for it. Sometimes there's times that God will call us to repent for our family. Husbands, you can do this for your wives. Wives, you can do this for your husbands. Parents, you can do this for your kids. Believers, you can do this for your parents. Maybe your parents aren't believers. You begin to intercede for God's best for their life, that God would forgive them. And so there's something powerful when we begin to intercede, repenting for someone else. We see it in Daniel. Daniel repented for his whole nation. He said, God, I know we did what was wrong. I know that you were furious and upset with us because for year after year after year after year and generation after generation, we kept doing the wrong thing. But God, forgive us. I repent for my nation. So we have the ability to intercede. And we talked about weeks back ago, we talked about when a righteous person knows how to get back up. It's not that you've always been perfect. It's that you understand how to repent, right? Proverbs 24:16 says, for a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he rises again. We understand how to rise again. We know how to repent. And so unrepented sins are one of the biggest doors for spiritual attack. So first we have to learn how to say, God, I'm sorry. And apply the finished work of the cross to our lives.
That's very interesting because you mentioned back about generational curses. Yeah. And people don't understand. I mean, you know, I don't know my great-great-grandparents and whatever, especially if you migrated from another country. You don't know what's going on, what happened in your bloodline. And it's only through the relationship of God that God will give you insight of what's going on. And it got to a point that in my life I was struggling in different areas when I first started walking with God. And I would, you know, I would pray, I would worship, I'd do everything, but I just couldn't shake certain things. And the Lord revealed to me that there have been pacts that were made, dedications that were made. And let's not think that it's all gory. Sometimes the common thing that I hear, Pastor Joshua, is if a child is sick, that someone would say, I started praying to this angel and I dedicated this child to this angel to save the child's life. I hear that very often. That is a demonic pact. That we don't make pacts with angels, it's Jesus and Jesus alone, right? Yeah. And so I started having to apply the blood of Jesus from the fourth to the 10th generation on both sides. I had to like repent for my ancestors and what they have done and the pacts they may have entered into and interceded and repented on their behalf. They're dead and gone. But those things do travel. They travel and they find the next person to come in, and it stops here in the name of Jesus. So people hold that with diabetes. Oh, my dad had diabetes. My mom had blah, blah. I don't have none of that in the name of Jesus. Yeah. I am set free. Yeah. So we claim these things that mask themselves as, oh, it's hereditary. Doctor, don't ask me for, you know, what my past family history is. It's Jesus, and he broke me from everything. And they won't find anything. Stop making agreements now with the enemy. Yeah. Amen? Yeah.
I think you touched on something good. Like, I don't, like, make a scene and get, like, ugly with a doctor. But I'm careful not to agree. If there's a negative report, they say, hey, we found this or that. I'll say, okay, you know, okay. And, like, as soon as I walk out, I say, I don't receive that in the name of Jesus. We're not having that. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. But I think oftentimes we receive stuff that we're not supposed to receive. I'm not saying that you go and act all crazy right. In the doctor's office. That's not what I'm ascribing to. But I'm saying you don't have to be like, yeah, I knew that was probably what it was.
You own it.
You just own it so easily, you know. No. I say, okay, well, all right. We'll think on those things and pray that away. All right. So unrepentant sin. The other thing that we have to make sure that we do is forgive. Unforgiveness is another huge open door. Even many believers have to the spirit world because they don't forgive, and unforgiveness can stand squarely in the way of you receiving the forgiveness of Christ.
Absolutely.
This is what the Bible says. The Bible says if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven.
Right.
So wow, when we're holding unforgiveness in our hearts, that's a huge open door for the enemy to come in and wreak havoc in our life, for all kinds of spirits to come and set up camp in your life because you've given them the opportunity to do that with a big open door. So and here's the thing too, if you aren't forgiving others, you will not have the authority to cast out demons. You nullify the power that Jesus has already given you. And it's like this, you know how dogs can smell fear? Well, demons can smell unforgiveness. They smell it and they, smells like a fruit snack. You know, they come and try to wreak havoc in your life. They can smell unforgiveness. And unforgiveness is this big door. So slam the door shut today by starting the process of forgiveness. Even if you don't feel like forgiving, you know where forgiveness starts? With a declaration.
Yes.
Just begin to use your mouth. Just begin to say, I forgive you.
Yes.
Or say, I forgive this person. And it doesn't matter if you feel it yet. You begin to declare it. And little by little, your heart will follow. The Bible says that as we speak, so we are. As the mouth speaks, so we are. And so as we begin to speak forgiveness and declare forgiveness over our life, our heart begins to line up with that forgiveness. And we shut the door to the enemy. Because holding on to something will never benefit you. Look at somebody and say, holding on to something
will never benefit you.
You have to look at somebody and say that, because this is a big thing. I think a lot of times we see this in movies and it's romanticized how somebody doesn't forgive and they hold on to this thing, right? They're a superhero because they won't let this thing go. Can I tell you the biggest person that you hurt when you don't forgive? It's you. As much as you think you're hurting somebody else, you're hurting yourself the most. So if we understand as believers, the scripture says we must forgive. When we forgive, we are able to walk in his freedom.
Right. Unforgiveness is like drinking the poison and expecting the person to die. It's decay. It decays your spirit. It eats away at you. And it comes in often by offense.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we have a lot of times during the day to get offended. And And the thing about it is sometimes we justify why we're mad or why we can't forgive the person. It could very well be justifiable. And I say that with quotes, but nothing is just, it's a sin. We cannot justify sin, and we can't domesticate demons. A lot of times we try to like manage demons, like anger management, and I'm going to medicate. No, it got to come out because it comes with friends. So you start off with unforgiveness and offense, and now you're just riddled with bitterness and, you know, a hurt spirit, and now you can't sleep at night because they done set up shop legally within you. And I can tell you one thing, Pastor Joshua, I had a family member that called me and they were having lower back pain, like excruciating lower back pain. They kept like putting all the stuff for the pain and it wouldn't go away. And as I was applying the thing, the strip to their back, I heard the Lord said, he has to forgive. And I was like, wow, it manifested as a ailment, like a physical ailment, but it wasn't. It was unforgiveness. And I started saying, please, you have to repent. You have to forgive. And you know what they said? I had this conversation with my mother earlier today. People from their childhood, people that died, they did not forgive. And it manifests physically in your body as illness. So you have to just let it go. Forgive. Declare it. And then your heart will start to receive it. And you can walk in total freedom.
I think that's a powerful truth, man. If we walked out of one truth today, like forgive. And we can start practicing freedom around us, that being able to, number one, be free, but help others to be free. I call this the friends and family plan. So when we see friends and we see family members that are in bondage, if we really love them, we would want them to be free, to have God's best for them. And so This is so important, I think, because, you know, if we're really a good friend, we're not going to leave our friend behind. We're not going to leave our friend in bondage. We're not going to leave our family member. And as the Holy Spirit presents the opportunity, it's our job to step up and bring deliverance. And the Holy Spirit will do that. He'll give moments, you know, that, it, you know, we can step up and we can do this. So how have you seen this? I know you've got some stories of things playing out.
Because I make myself available. Thanks, Francesca. I make myself available to the Holy Spirit to use me at all times. And it's funny because a lot of, like I said, things can manifest in a natural and you think it's a natural thing. Yeah. So I was one day at my desk at work and my coworker started like sweating and turning like pale. Her hands are sweating. She was like having like a mini panic attack. And so our other coworker decided to give her these candies, like these original self-calming whatever candies. And I was thinking, there's no candy that's going to handle this situation. It needs to be addressed. So I sent her an instant message and I said, can you meet me outside? I didn't sit and think, Pastor Joshua, maybe she's not a believer. Maybe she's not a Christian. Is she saved? Like those questions come to talk us out of doing what God has commissioned us already to do, you know? So I was bold with the faith and I stepped outside with her and she said that she had an appointment with her ex-husband. They have to have these appointments for the children, like mediation counseling. And every time she gets in his presence, she starts to anxiety and panic, her heart beats, her mouth goes dry. Like she said, she can't understand it. And soon as she's not in his presence anywhere, it goes away. And I was like, girl, you know me. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, that's a python spirit. Like, you know, we need to pray this away. And I told her, listen, is it okay that I pray with you? And she said, absolutely. And I prayed and I broke every single spirit of panic and anxiety and attack and any control that enemy may have over her life in the name of Jesus. I commanded the enemy to loose her in the name of Jesus and set her free. And when she came back, she didn't say anything. But I would notice she'd go to these appointments and she would come back, you know, fine. And she actually told me, she was like, you know, I don't have that issue anymore. And I said, well, look at that. So the thing about it is miracles and signs will follow those who believe. Yeah. And it's not all the time people, you'll find them in a church that at an altar call, people are set free. We have opportunity to set people free at our jobs, at our homes, outside the four walls of the church. Let's not wait till they come in and then try to lay hands on them. It's not us, it's Jesus anyway. I was just an available vessel for him to use. And guess what? She came to church. So now she wants to know this Jesus that I serve that set her free. Amen?
I think that's so important, you know, when we talk about stories like that. You took this coworker by the hands, you prayed with her. Because oftentimes, like, deliverance has this stigma, like, somebody's going to be always rolling around on the ground, throwing up, or, you know, it's going to be the exorcist and their head is spinning around, you know. But the thing is, we have the ability to speak with authority. And it's, you know, and I really, truly believe when we see Jesus, Jesus was in control of the manifestation. The manifestation wasn't in control of the situation. Yeah. He allowed it a little. And all right, that's enough. That's enough. Now you go and go. And so as a believer, we're in control of the situation. You don't have to be afraid like the situation is going to get beyond your control. If you have the Spirit of God working inside of you, just like Jessica was talking, they grabbed hands, they prayed, and that's the majority. That's a lot of times how deliverance happens. It's a simple prayer of authority, and demons go. And so I think it's important for us to know that, because I think a lot of times we're reluctant to step up and do what God wants us to do because we're thinking, oh, it's going to be a situation that's crazy, you know? But God's not going to put more on you than you can bear. That's what the scripture says. And so as you step up and you do what God is kind of highlighting and showing you to do, he's called us to be agents of freedom. Proverbs 18:24 says, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And a lot of times we ascribe this to Jesus, but I think we're supposed to be in the example of Jesus, right? And a true friend would not leave another friend in bondage. And if Jesus is the example of friendship, he was a friend of people that were in trouble. He was a friend of sinners, and his type of friendship always led to deliverance or an opportunity to be delivered. That's where it always ended, was in a place of freedom. So if I'm Christ-like, if we're Christ-like, we're going to have this type of friendship that leads to freedom. If we're following in the footsteps of Christ and the people around us, the Holy Spirit's going to open up opportunities for us to help them get free of whatever's holding them back. If I want to follow in Jesus' footsteps, I should be an agent of freedom.
I think that, number one, as you mentioned earlier about, you know, people have shied away from deliverance. It has such an ugly, negative stigma. And that's why we see what we see now in the world. All these people are bound and they're left to their darkness, and everyone wants to cuddle in the church and say, oh, that's them, and we're waiting for the rapture. And it's not fair. God, Jesus led with compassion and love. And when we see someone in bondage, our heart should go out for that person and not be offended and be like turning our nose, like, can you believe they're struggling with their lusting? Like, come on, let's be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let's walk in the authority which he's given us, because he says greater works will we do, right? So that means everywhere we go is a ministry, and we should walk in that freedom. And Pastor Joshua, this is what I picture. I picture us as a SWAT team. You know, it's a hostage situation. And, you know, we're the spiritual warfare attack team. So what happens when a SWAT comes in? They bust down doors and they set the captives free. Amen? So you are a part of God's SWAT team. So no SWAT members, I'm like, I'm just going to go to Dunkin' Donuts, y'all. Like, you know, the SWAT team, you have a mandate on you to set hostages free. And that's what we have, the same commission as believers in the faith.
I love that. I love that. I just, you know, as you're saying that, I'm just thinking, how many times are we're seeing hostage situations around us and we don't do anything? We let the enemy work with our minds to rationalize why we shouldn't step up and just at least attempt to
I'm
help
just
set
pray
somebody
for them.
Free.
They say, I'll pray for her. I'll pray for him, and I'll go.
No, let's pray right now.
Yeah, let's pray right
now. Let's pray
now.
Right now.
What's up? Like,
just in case I forget later,
right
let me pray right
and
now.
And that's the authority. That's the authority of which we walk in. We're not afraid. And I think that's fear. If you want to, like, be intimidated, I should not be intimidated by no devil. When I come in, he runs. I shouldn't run because he comes in. He should be like, man, she's here, man. Again, let me go somewhere else. That's what the enemy should say when you guys walk in your family. He should be afraid to come in your family, because let me tell you, he knows you. He sees you. He knows who you are, and you smell like Jesus. And so he's like, man, she's going to put up a fight, and she's going to start calling on these archangels with all these swords of fire. I don't want no trouble. I'm going to find someone else who's unarmed. Amen. So, and that's what we should be every day of our lives.
So I'm sure there's some of our family here in the room that's saying, okay, that's awesome, but how do I get from where I am right now to what you're talking about, or in the neighborhood of what you're talking about? Like, how can I make, you know, how can I get from A to B? It feels like that's like, you know, G or something. Like, I feel like I'm an A today. Yeah. How do I get there? And so how do I stir myself up? How do I prepare myself to be sharp like that, you know, and to be ready? And I believe God clearly tells us in his word that the answer is to stir ourselves up is prayer. More prayer, more power. I really believe this, because there are moments when Jesus, he stepped away and said, look, I just need to pray a little bit more and make sure I got everything straight before I step into whatever I step into. Right. This next chapter, this next town, I'm gonna withdraw. I'm gonna pray a little bit, right? Because more prayer equals more power. Yeah. The more we pray, the more our faith level rises. Yeah. The more we pray, the more we are connected to the source. What happens if I plug some electronic into that outlet over there? You know, it's gonna have power. Yes. It's gonna have power. But the moment that I unplug it, it's going to immediately start. What happens to the power? Right? It's like, you know, the boom box. When you plug the boom box in and you got the music playing and then you just yank it out, it goes, and it dies. Or maybe you have, you know, you have a battery. You've got a phone and you plug that charger into the wall and it charges up. Even with the battery, eventually it's going to continue to go down until you don't have anything. When we pray, we're connecting into the source of the power. The source is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if you're speaking and things are not moving, you're speaking to demons and they're not moving, pray. Pray more. More prayer, more power. So get on a good diet of more prayer and your spiritual muscles will grow, right? It's like going to the gym. When you pray, you're getting pumped up. So you come and the demons are afraid of what you got, because they can see you came out of the prayer closet prepared for something. You came prepared for battle. So get on a diet of more prayer and your authority in Christ will grow. That's the problem a lot of times. Christians, they got the name, they got the title, but they're lacking the power. They're lacking the power. Where do we get the power? Get back connected to the source. More prayer, more power. How important have you seen prayer in your life and in those around you?
Well, for one, when you start, you know, walking with the Lord, you want to do everything right, you know, and you come to church and, you know, you sit down and you hear all these principles and examples and you're trying to figure out how to apply it to your life. And the first thing that you can do is pray. And a lot of people say, well, I don't know how to pray and I don't sound like so-and-so. Listen, you're not trying to sound like anybody. These are conversations between you and God. And the Holy Spirit will intercede on your behalf when you do not know what to pray for anyway. And the more you talk to him, the more you're like, you know when you're tuning a radio station and then like you try to go to one station and the middle stations are like fuzzy? That tune, you're tuning directly to the kingdom of heaven and that sound comes clear. And that's how fluid that the power comes out of you through prayer. And we notice that with David. If anyone has a chance, read Psalm 18. David, you know, he would go like this. But he was always in God's presence. He would always be there. And at the end of his prayer, he said, I can scale any wall. I can do anything. And that's what we need to come out of the prayer closet feeling like. And so, Pastor Joshua, my prayer time is so valuable. But between me and God, if I have to do it in a car, if I have to do it, you know, at lunch, if I have to sit in my car at lunch just so I can pray, if I can go on a prayer walk, I'll do it, because that is where he washes you. If you don't take you should take a bath at least twice a day, every day, you know, you should. So if you don't take a bath often, what's going to happen? You're going to start to stink. And that happens when you're not praying. You go a few days without praying, and not only do you decline, you start to become irrational, irritable, you know, powerless, weak, because you have not been in the presence of God so he can wash you in that water of the word and send you back out to do the work that you're a sent one to do his work on this earth. So prayer is that connection to heaven.
Amen. More prayer, more power. All right, I'm going to try to wrap this up, because I really feel it's important for us to pray for us to pray for everybody, and specifically, I believe God wants to do some powerful things today. But if the Apostle Paul was here today, this is what he would say about prayer, I believe. And this is what he says in his letters. All throughout the day, stay in an attitude of prayer. You know, make prayer a habit. In his different letters, we see, just pulling out a couple of things. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 18 says, "Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is the will of those who belong to Christ Jesus." Ephesians 6:18 says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent with your prayers for all believers everywhere." So more prayer is more power. And some things are not going to happen for you in your life unless you are prepared. Some things are not going to move. Some spirits are not going to get out of your life. Some things are not going to happen. Some breakthroughs are not going to happen unless you get more prayer. More prayer, more power. Prayer is the preparation for power. A praying Christian is a powerful Christian. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. And if you know God, you will know His power within you. To the level you know Him will be to the level that you can reflect Him in this world. And so there can be a big, big difference between the ability and having the power. Everybody in this room has the ability. Some people in the room have the power. God wants you to have the ability and the power. And so this power is available to you today. Will you stand with me? I really feel like God wants to set people free. Not just for us to talk about it, but maybe you say, "Pastor, there's some things that I just, this is beyond the natural. I just feel like I've been walking underneath a fog. There has been just a heaviness on me. There has been an opposition to my life, and it's just like, no matter what I do in the natural, it seems like it doesn't work out." Maybe it's something in your physical body, and you say, "It just seems like once I get over one thing, it's another thing. And once I think I've got this figured out, another thing pops up, and then another thing pops up." And I really think this is not just natural. I think it's a supernatural issue, and I need God's touch today, and I need to get this spiritual issue broken, whether it's a spiritual harassment over your life, maybe it's an oppression, a fog over you, maybe it's something more. God can deal with that today. If that's you, I just want to invite you to come down to the altar. God wants to set each and every person free. The Bible says this: "Who the Son sets free is free indeed." And that's what Jesus is about. That's what the Spirit of Christ is about. Would you bow your heads? And as people are coming up to the altar, just between you and Jesus, and we're going to pray this thing out. We're going to pray this thing out today. We're not just going to talk about prayer. We're not just going to talk about getting free, getting deliverance. We're going to get it. We're going to walk out of here free. If that's you, you say, "Pastor, I need that. I need that today. I need that today. I need for somebody just to agree with me. I just need that extra help of faith to take me to the point of freedom." If that's you, come down here. And Minister Margaret, if you could just come up, and Minister Marielle, Pastor Minerva. Yeah. Sister Kendi, I don't need it right now. Thank you. Hallelujah. I believe. We serve a God that heals us, a God that sets us free from everything that's been oppressing us, from everything that has hindered us, from everything that has held us back from the purpose of God in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just stir up your Spirit in this place. The same Spirit that was on you, Jesus, when you walked here. You walked upon the earth and you said, "I have come to set captives free. I've come to liberate those that are in prison." God, I thank you, Father. God, we thank you. If you're there and you're in your seats, you could just stretch your hands towards those that are being prayed for right now, because God is bringing freedom. We should want to see every family member free. We should want to see every friend free. We should want to see that those around us are free. And so that, let's just agree today that everybody's going to walk out of here free. Everybody's going to experience something in God today.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.